Good morning.
I
was just reminiscing. I think the first time that I spoke from up here was in 1987 or 1988. So it's wonderful to be back here in Massachusetts. See a lot of familiar faces that I knew back then, and some that I've met since then, and some that are still new to me. But it's thank you so much for this opportunity to share with you this morning. We live in a very complicated, crazy world. Lots of stuff happens a lot of the time, and sometimes it can be hard to figure out what we should do in response. I'm not going to give you any of those actual answers today. But what I am going to do is try to focus on what does it mean to be a Christian every day, continually. The title of this lesson is called Daily, and I took it from the scripture reading we just had, Exhort One Another Daily. And I started from that and kind of went through and found out the places where there are things that we're supposed to do daily or every day or all the time. And so that's what we're going to kind of look at, is the things that we can do on a daily basis, the things that it's valuable for us to recenter on. And you know, it's not a checklist. It's not a, you know, you must do, you know, this before breakfast. But the point is, these are things that we can, I think each of us can look at our own lives and see, hey, I've been doing a few of these things. I haven't been doing some of these other things. I need to maybe focus on working those into my day. So that's the point of this, is to give us things to think about that we should be doing, that we should be paying attention to on a consistent, on a repeated, on a daily basis. And so there are a number of things that we do on a daily basis, right? And a lot of those have to do with our physical needs, right? We get up and we generally eat breakfast. We later on in the day eat lunch. And, you know, we there are things that we take care of consistently. And some of those are physical needs. And so the first thing I want to look at in terms of things we ought to be doing as Christians daily sort of relates to physical needs. And that's benevolence. That is taking care of people. If you will turn with me to Acts, the 6th chapter. And this is at the very early stages of the church in Jerusalem. And we read, "Now in these days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring of the Grecian Jews against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." So we see that we had widows who were being taken care of, and there was a daily administration. And well, that makes sense, right? Because you don't want to eat once a week or, you know, once a month, right? Pretty much you do, that's something you need to do every day. So we need to make sure that we're looking out for the needs of others on a daily basis. And the Christians here in the early church in Jerusalem did that, right? They had a daily administration where they were consistently taking care of these people. And when we look at our benevolence, right, our benevolence is something that should be active. It should be something that we focus on and we take efforts to do on a consistent basis. Go ahead and turn to James, the 2nd chapter, with me, if you will. A passage we're pretty familiar with. But if you go down in verses 15 and 16, now he's using this as an example of faith and works, but he says, "If a brother or sister be naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you say unto them, go in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and yet ye give them not the things needful to the body, what doth it profit?" Right? So our looking out for people's needs, not he needs to be not lip service, needs to be active, it needs to be focused. We need to be daily doing things for this. Back in Acts again, in the 12th chapter, we see, in the 10th chapter, we see an example of someone who did this. In Acts chapter 10, there was a certain man in Caesarea, Cornelius by name, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, who gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And we'll talk about the prayer always later, but he was giving much alms consistently to the people. He took care of. He practiced benevolence on a consistent, on a daily basis. And then bouncing back again to James, the 1st chapter, down at the end of the 1st chapter, go ahead and look at verse 27. "Pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." So this is service to God. This is religion, right? This is how we serve God, and that is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, to take care of people who need to be taken care of. And this is not simply, now certainly, you know, especially in these times, fatherless and widows probably meant financial obligations as well, right? But it wasn't just financial, right? When someone loses a father, is all they're missing is income? No. It's more than that, right? And so we owe one another time, attention, service. So our benevolence, our giving needs to focus on all of those things. And those are things that we need to do consistently, because those needs are daily, consistent needs. So benevolence is something we need to do daily. There's another thing, a number of other things, but another one I want to look at is encouragement. We need to be encouraging one another on a daily, on a consistent basis. Once again, we'll go back to the early church in Acts. Now in the second chapter, near the end of that chapter, in verse 46 particularly, we can look at, we see some benevolence before that, and they sold their possessions and parted them and shared them out as they had need. But verse 46, "And day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple and breaking bread at home, they took their food with gladness and singleness of heart." So they were together consistently, and they were sharing time, and they were sharing meals, and they were breaking bread and rejoicing. So those are things that we can do with one another to be an encouragement to one another. And then we'll go back to Hebrews, the third chapter, and this is where we had our scripture reading this morning. In verse 13, the idea of encouraging each other consistently, right? "But exhort one another day by day," or daily, "as long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." So sin is always out there, right? Threatening us, enticing us, trying to pull us away. And so we need to be encouraging one another in Christ all the time. We need to be daily looking out for each other, checking up on one another, providing one another strength, sharing things we've learned from God with one another. We need to be an encouragement to one another consistently. Staying in Hebrews, and if you go down to the 10th chapter, verses we're fairly familiar with, verse 24 and 25. "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." Consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. We need to be poking one another on a consistent basis toward doing what God wants us to do. "Not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing nigh." We need to, again, on a consistent basis, be looking for ways to encourage one another. And of course, being here together, commemorating Jesus and what he did that we're commanded to do on a weekly basis, right? But we need to be doing this exhorting and provoking even more than that, right? Not just while we're here. And we have amazing communication tools nowadays that let us do that with one another without even necessarily having to walk all the way over to somebody's house or something like that. We can drive there, right? Makes that a lot faster. Or even if, hey, I don't have time to do that, but you know what? I've got this little device in my pocket and it lets me talk with any of you anytime, right? And you can use that for encouragement, for strengthening, to help stir one another up to love and good works. We need to do that consistently. We need to be doing that all the time. And that should be on our mind. And we know it was on the Apostle Paul's mind. If you turn with me briefly to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, down near the end of the chapter, Paul here is listing all the things that he has gone through, that he goes through, you know, talking about his journeyings and his being stoned and you know, and hunger, being shipwrecked, you know, all of that. But in verse 28, he talks about all these physical things that he's gone through. He says, "Besides those things that are without, there is that which presseth upon me daily, anxiety for all the churches." So Paul cared about the Christians, and it was on his mind consistently, so much that that weighed as heavily on him as being stoned. That was more important to him than the fact that he got in a shipwreck. That was the thing. But more than that, right? He said, "I have the care for all these churches because they're important to me," and that's how we need to look at one another, as being important to one another, and we need to treat it like that. And that requires consistent effort. So we need to practice benevolence on a daily basis, and we need to practice encouragement on a daily basis. Also, to power that and to keep us focused, we need to practice prayer on a daily basis. Go ahead and turn with me to Psalm, the 86th Psalm. And we'll be looking at verses 3 through 5 here. David here, praying, says, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for unto thee do I cry all the day long. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and abundant in loving kindness unto all them that call upon thee." So David here talks about crying to the Lord all day long. And a part of what he's talking about, of course, is God's readiness to forgive. And I think that's very important for us to keep in mind, that we need to talk to God at least as consistently as we sin. And I think doing some self-reflection, that'll keep us at least going daily, right? But this is continuous and repeated action that we need to be taking, and we need to be praying consistently to God about the things that are going on in our lives and what we need from Him, and seeking guidance from Him. Daniel, the 6th chapter, we see that Daniel had a habit of praying more than daily, as a matter of fact. In Daniel chapter 6, in verse 10, after his enemies in the court decided that they could entrap him by making a law that you couldn't make a petition to anybody but the king. And they knew that Daniel was going to fall foul of that. So when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, so this law was made, he went into his house. Now his windows were open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. And he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Some translation I see say, as was his custom. Right? That's what he did. He prayed 3 times a day specifically and with intent beforehand and set aside the time and made that happen. That's a very good example for us to do that. Now, I think we should also follow David's example of crying to the Lord all the day long, right? You don't need to wait for your scheduled time, but we need to be doing it consistently, daily, all the time. To reinforce this idea, if you'll go ahead and turn with me to Matthew, the 6th chapter. And here we have the Sermon on the Mount, and the disciples had asked him how to pray. And Jesus is here giving an example of how we should pray. And I think it's very interesting that in verse 11, in this prayer that he gives us as an example, he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." We don't pray to God for, "God, give me bread for the rest of my life," or, "God, give us this day our daily bread." And there are other principles that he talks about later in chapter 6 there, where we're supposed to be just trusting in God's care on a consistent basis rather than trying to get ahead of things, right? We trust in His care, and we express that trust in our prayer. "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." Also, of course, an understanding that if He gave us a bunch of bread now, it would be spoiled by the time we were ready for it in a week anyway, right? We need to be coming back to Him consistently with reminders of how much we need Him, reminders for us of how much we need Him. So we need to be praying daily, consistently. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, again, talking about the need for constant, consistent prayer, starting in verse 4, but going through verse 7. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearance be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus." in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything, all the time. Even more than daily, but every day it should be happening. It should be taking place. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says, pray without ceasing. Just keep doing it. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, one more scripture rub this in for us just a little bit more. Starting in verse 15, Paul says, look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunken with wine wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father.
Amen.
We're to be filled with the Spirit. It's to be coming out of us, and we're to be redeeming the time every day we are given from God. We need to be giving back. And we need to be giving back. We talked about benevolence. You know, we need to give back in encouragement to one another and in prayer. We need to be talking with our God who gives us all these things. So those are a handful of things we need to be doing. But also, we need to be spending our days being prepared. And one of the important, one of the highlights of preparedness, of being ready, is being righteous, of focusing on doing what God wants us to do. We alluded to this one this morning as well. Go ahead and turn to Luke, the 9th chapter. And in verse 23, Jesus says, and he said unto all, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And, you know, taking up your cross is not a little thing. And it's not, you know, it's sort of a one and done, right? We tend to think of it as you're carrying your cross and then you're giving yourself up there, right? As Jesus did. That's the point. But Jesus says we need to do that daily, giving ourselves for him, focusing our lives on what he says and how he says to do it. A little further down in Luke, in the 21st chapter, in verses 34 through 36, Jesus, giving more instruction, says, take heed to yourselves, lest haply your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come on you suddenly as a snare. For so shall it come upon them that dwell on the face of the earth. But watch ye at every season, making supplication, that ye may prevail to escape all the things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So there's a lot of things that are going to press in on you consistently, all the time. Sin, knocking at your door, wanting to entice you away. So what do you need to do? You need to be ready. And the way you're ready is watching, praying, maybe having yourself around other Christians who are doing the same thing and provoking you to love and good works, encouraging you, right? So being with each other, so that we can do what we can stand and say what Paul said in Acts, the 24th chapter. Kind of an astounding statement. In Acts chapter 24, verse 16, Paul says, herein I also exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense toward God and men always. So Paul exercises himself. Exercises one of those repeated words, right? It's not something you do once. It's something you do consistently. To keep his conscience clear by focusing on what God has said and doing what God has said. So we need to be consistently seeking to do what God has said so that we will be ready when we're needed, when judgment comes, right? We're ready for that. But on a daily basis, being ready for all the things we may have to do. Proverbs the 8th chapter highlights the need here. In verse 34 of Proverbs 8, we read, blessed is the man that heareth me, and this is wisdom speaking, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. So, listening daily, seeking out wisdom on a daily basis, looking for what God wants us to do, what we're supposed to be doing, and if we are like that, we are blessed. Because we are listening to wisdom, we are paying attention to the things that God would have us to do, the right things to do. Paul, after a very stirring set of statements on the power of the resurrection in which we trust, finishes off with, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren," in verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Labor, work, right? That's another thing we know we do. You do it, and then you finish your day, and then you get up and you do it again, right? It's a continual thing, but that's where we need to be, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And this comes together in the readiness, right? Readiness for judgment, but also before that, readiness for whatever situation I mentioned that we find ourselves in. In 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 15, again, something we're very familiar with, a passage we're familiar with. But Peter writes, "To sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you for a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear." We need to always be ready to give an answer. And I think it's interesting here, Peter says we need to be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that is within you. That means that the way we live our lives as righteous and prepared is going to be, people are going to take note of that. People are going to wonder about that. People are going to want to know where that comes from. And we need to be ready to give a defense. So we need to be prepared. So yes, we practice benevolence on a daily basis. We encourage one another. We're in prayer. And we're focusing on God's Word and doing what He says, so that we can do the other thing that I'm going to talk about that we need to do on a daily basis. And that is study and teaching. And now you see all of these run together too. This is not, you know, five distinct things, but these are things that we need to be focusing on so that we can be sharing the Scriptures. We need to be digging into the Word, and we need to be sharing the Word. Go ahead and turn with me to Acts, the 17th chapter. Again, a passage that we're fairly familiar with. Talking about the Jews in Berea, while Paul was teaching in the synagogue. And it said, "Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind, examining the Scriptures daily, whether these things were so." So they'd get, every time they'd get something new that Paul was teaching them, they'd compare that to the Scriptures. They dig into what God says. And so they examined the Scriptures on a daily basis. And so I think that's a great example for us, and a reminder that this is not something, you know, you read the Bible once, you're done, right? There are books that I have read once and I was done, and most of those books were not very important and were not, there was no real impact, right? There are other books, and this is, I'm not talking about, there are other books that I've read, and I'm like, I get some impact out of that, and so what do? I'm going to review them again later, right? These are, and Scripture is deeper than those books. I need to be reviewing it consistently. I need to be digging into it on a consistent basis. Paul admonishes Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15 to be diligent to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But be diligent. It takes effort. We need to put time and energy into doing this, and we need to do it on a consistent, on a repeated basis. Going back again to Acts, the 5th chapter, just before the where we were with the widow, the ministration of the widows before, but in verse 42, right? In fact, the verse right before that, "Every day in the temple and at home, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus as the Christ." Every day, they were teaching Jesus as the Christ. And this is why I give this lesson, because it hits the toes a bit. I'm reflecting, do I do that daily? Do I do that really with any consistency? Why? It's what they did. It's what we're supposed to do. That's why we're preparing. That's what we're spending time in prayer to do, is to prepare us, to get us ready to be out there. That's why we're encouraging one another, right? So that they'll ask us, so that we can answer them, so that we can declare who Jesus is and how amazing what he's given us is. We need to be doing that on a daily basis like they were. Paul, in Acts the 17th chapter, was doing this as well. In verse 17 of chapter 17, and I believe this is in Athens, he reasoned in the synagogue with Jews and devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with them that met him. So he was reasoning with everybody he could. He's going out into the marketplace and talking with anybody who will talk to him about Jesus and who he was and what he offers. And even when later on in chapter 19, when he had people who wouldn't listen, in verse 8 of chapter 19, he entered the synagogue, spake boldly for the space of 3 months, reasoning and persuading as to the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. So even if you have places in which you can't, you know, restrictions and ways in which there's no profit to doing that, you find ways where it is profitable and you do it. You share Jesus with whoever will listen. We need to always be doing these things, always be ready. And one more thing about, and it's sort of teaching and sort of example, but go ahead and turn with me to Colossians, the 4th chapter. Paul, and look at verse 5, he says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer each one." So this sort of talks about, we talked about preparedness, being always ready, about encouragement of one another. But let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you can know how you're supposed to help people. So our speech needs to always be with grace and careful and thoughtful and encouraging. Every day. And in fact, more than that, every time we talk, which I know for some of us is a lot more than daily. And again, this is not everything we need to do. This is not a checklist that, just like brushing my teeth. But these are things that we can turn our eyes toward and focus on and do, because they are things that we should be doing all the time. We should be practicing benevolence. We should be sharing our things, right? The blessings that God has given us, we should be sharing those with those around us. We should be encouraging one another daily, consistently. We should be spending time in prayer daily. We should always be prepared, and that requires consistent daily exercise type effort. And we should be studying and teaching all the time. And daily at the least, right? Make yourself a schedule. And set aside time so that if stuff gets in the way of maybe some of the times you'd really like to do that, you're setting aside time. Make it happen. Do things daily. Because it's, you know, it's in Hebrews there where he said, while it is called today, right, you've got today. You've got the day where you can do stuff. And then you've got tomorrow where you don't know. So I would encourage you to consider, and I'm sure most of us have probably done a pretty good job of some of these things and getting them really worked into our lives, and maybe we have times where we've worked them into our lives and we've seen good results, and maybe we've let some of that fall by the wayside a little bit, and just try to pick it back up, right? Do what we know we're supposed to do. Make the effort on a consistent basis. Set aside the time to focus on the things that are most important. This lesson has been focused largely on those who are Christians, those who are serving God, and you know, you want to find ways to continue to do that, to provoke one another, right? I'm just me trying to do what I've been talking about, right? Provoke us to love and good works, to do what we're supposed to be doing. But if you're not in that camp yet, if you're not a Christian, if you haven't given your life to God, but you are willing to commit yourself to Him, to be buried into Christ's death, to rise in new life with Him, or if there's anything else that we can do for you to help you in your journey, whether it's offering prayers, other ways of encouragement, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.